This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Well, two of the Padres' most consistent relief options since the trade deadline. Both gave a little ground yesterday. Tanner Scott coming in the 2-2 game, one out in the seventh inning. You felt like, okay, well, they're going to keep it here with Tanner Scott.
Keep it right
going with their high leverage arm, and didn't happen. A single. And then the catcher's interference obviously was a big moment in that game.
Awful.
And while that's obviously not Tanner Scott's fault, and even for the catcher, it's a pretty random occurrence. Did see that Kyle Higashioka has more catcher's interferences than anyone in baseball, six of them now. That is a bit of an issue. I mean, yeah, probably won't happen, but you certainly would hate to see it happen in a key moment in a playoff game, especially that was an 0-2 count.
Yeah, man.
You got that guy. You get the second out there. You can be a little more careful with Ohtani coming up with no one in scoring position. That, to me, was a big moment in the game.
Huge.
That catcher's
massive
interference.
It's just, that's when you started to feel the wheels come off a little bit.
It's also why I'm kind of going to dismiss Tanner Scott's struggles a little bit there as well. All right, that wasn't his fault. Put him in a really bad spot. He got a grounder off Ohtani.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, I thought it was a double play off
too.
The bat when he hit it. It was down. It was down angle. It was hard enough that I thought they might even be able to turn two. It just was just out of the reach of Luis Arraez at first base and found the hole into right field. So I wouldn't say it was a disastrously bad performance by Tanner Scott. It just was one of those in baseball that just kind of gets away from you because of the circumstances.
Good point by Andros here in the chat. Says most of those interferences came with the knuckleball.
Yeah, that is true.
Because he was Matt Walder.
Because you're trying to grab him. That's true.
Try to go
that
get
is
it.
True.
You try to go get it when you can see it.
That one certainly didn't.
That one did not. That was not a knuckleball, and got away from Higgy a little bit there last night. But yeah, look, it's something to work on, right? If you're Schulte, you're Higgy, you know, it's something that you say, hey, let's try to cut that out. Matty Waldron's gone. You don't have to go out and get it. It's going to get to you. Things like that. I know less than nothing about catching. I know that's a very hard position, and I just, I don't know. And again, the main discourse today is about Luis Arraez. And I'm still can't wrap my head around.
Before you get to Luis Arraez, let me just, I don't think that if you were still thinking about using Tanner Scott in the ninth, and we don't really even know what Mike Schilt is thinking.
No.
Obviously, he's used Robert Suarez again, but he said, I'm open to looking at matchups. I don't think this changes that at all. I would still be okay using Tanner Scott in the ninth inning if they thought the better matchups for Tanner Scott came in the ninth inning.
Well, it'll be fun. As soon as we know who we're playing on Tuesday, then on Monday, maybe Monday, we'll get to sit in here and break down where we think, you know, hey, the lanes, because that's what they're going to do, too. They can't do anything. It would make no sense for Mike Schilt and A.J. Preller. Now, you can go and look at all the teams you potentially could be facing on Tuesday and say, all right, here's our plan for the Braves. Here's our plan for the Mets. Here's our plan for this team and that team. But let's say it's the Mets. You know, you get together, you game plan it, and you say, if we get down to this scenario at this part of their lineup, also this is who they have coming off the bench, I really feel like this is the lane for Tanner Scott, this is the lane for Jason Adam, this is a potential lane for Robert Suarez. I did see people saying last night, if you were going to take Joe out, now Estrada had pitched two nights in a row, granted, one night he threw one pitch, which is why he was available for 19 pitches the next night. I understand them not going to him yesterday. He's also not your highest high leverage reliever, especially the last night you put him in. He walked two guys. So I can totally understand why Mike Schilt didn't go, give me Estrada, right? Because the very last time you saw him on a mound, he walked two guys. So I think you look at the lanes for the guys, you see where it makes the most sense based on who your opponent is, and you kind of plan it a little bit, knowing full well this plan means nothing if, you know, we score six runs in the first or they score six runs in the first. It all goes out the window. But I do not think that you should be married to any closer, setup, eighth inning guy because you have three, maybe even four guys that can do the job. That being said, Benny, last night, what would you have thought about Suarez in that spot instead of Tanner Scott, using him there against, you know, the bottom of the lineup to come in and try a little something new for Big Game Bob, Bobby Fastball.
So it was Freddie Freeman coming up with one out and nobody on. Probably not bringing in Suarez.
Not
to face
Suarez
Freddie
there.
Freeman. That's why he went with Scott.
With Tanner.
You had the lefty coming up. You wanted to get him to start. You didn't. He got a hit.
Freddie's
there.
The four hole?
He's the three,
three hole.
Three hole. Yeah.
And then you had
Teoscar.
Teoscar, Smith.
Muncy, then Smith. So you had two lefties
two
coming
lefties.
Up in the next three. So that's why Tanner Scott's lane was that
was that inning. He just didn't get the job done.
It was the Freeman-Muncy lane that Scott, I think he was the right guy.
Yeah.
That, if you want to keep that game 2-2, and you do, he's the best possible guy to do it. It just didn't work out for the Padres yesterday. Doesn't mean you change the strategy next time just because it didn't work out this time. If you want to join us for Take on Woods, give us a call right now, 833-288-0973. Got about 3 minutes until we will play our musical trivia
Freeman,
challenge.
It was Lux, Eric says. So Joe comes in.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
It was Lux.
He walked Muncy. He gave up the homer to Smith, and then you got
then
Lux.
Otani. They were at the bottom of the order. You're right. I was thinking a different inning.
So at that point, would that have been, again, a bet? If you're going to try to get a soft landing spot for Robert Suarez, that could have been an option, too, instead of Tanner Scott. But, again, I 100% don't fault Mike Schilt for going to Tanner Scott. Tanner didn't get the job done. It happens.
That's right. It was Lux, then they pinch. Or, no, it was, it was Lux, but they pinch hit Kike instead.
Yeah.
Right?
And then that was later.
That was later?
I think that was later.
Oh, we have lost the plot a little bit here
fine.
On the game last night.
Very
sorry
tired.
About that.
It's Friday.
What
I'm saying is that could have been a potential, different look for Robert Suarez there in that inning.
All right, but Joe struck out Edmund. Then they brought in Scott. Kike pinch hit. He was the first. He got a hit. He's never not gotten a hit against Tanner Scott, apparently.
Crazy.
So that was a good move by Dave Roberts. Then Pajes got on the catcher's interference.
Yep.
Then Otani singled.
Yeah. So you have Tanner Scott in there to get Otani, and he got the ground ball just trickled through under Ariza's glove. So, yeah, man, it's just there's no reason, I think, to be married to any of that, and I don't think they will be. I really don't. And Paul, you said it before the show started. If it was 2-0, and Tanner comes in and nails it down, then Jason Adam comes in the eighth and nails it down, hell yes, I'm nervous about Robert Suarez. But I'll tell you this.
I was already thinking about it in the sixth, seventh inning or whatever.
I'm
all right, this game stays. Like, if the ass comes in and it's 2-0 heading into the ninth, I was already scared about an hour before it happened.
But
would have happened.
I will always be scared in the ninth inning with a 2-run lead against the LA Dodgers. That really doesn't matter if Mariano Rivera, Trevor Hoffman, Lee Smith, doesn't matter, Ryan Helsley, it doesn't really matter who it is. They're a good team. They got a good lineup. They have a deep lineup. They have an expensive lineup. Those guys are paid to get the job done. Robert Suarez, he needs to figure it out. And maybe there is a different spot. And we'll ask somebody that knows so much more than any of us could ever fathom about these exact things coming up at 9 o'clock when we talk to the GOAT, Trevor Hoffman, will be joining the program. And what a great guy to speak on all this.
I also want to ask Trevor about comparing this team with the 1998 Padres.
Yeah.
There was some magic in that team as well.
Sure.
But I want to get his firsthand opinion on kind of how, they won 98 games. This team is at, 91? But certainly, there's some similarities as well to what was a magic season and a magic postseason. We'll get back to Luis Ariza's talk in just a couple of minutes. Right now, though, let's get to our Friday edition of Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods.
All right, I'm going to pick I'm going with line two here. Caller, who's this?
Identify yourself.
Anyone there?
Yeah, hello?
Hey, who's
Hi.
This?
Hey, this is Russ.
Hey, Russ, you calling for a Take on Woods?
Yes, I am.
Boom. You are our contestant today, Russ. If you can beat or tie Woods in our five questions of musical trivia, we'll put you into the drawing for the grand prize. Two-night stay at the Winter Encore Las Vegas and the tickets to Awakening, the thrilling spectacle at the Wynn. Tickets on sale now at awakening.com. And just a reminder, Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes and you don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Russ, have you played before?
Yes, I have.
All right, so you know how it works. Five questions.
Yep.
The first question, our two-second song. If you can get the song title and the artist, you score the point there. We'll compare your score to Woods's and see how it goes for you. And you get to choose our category to give you a little advantage. We've got Below the Waist, five songs that include a lower half body part in the title. This End Up, those are five songs with the word end in the title, and it's a 2 second song category. Oh no, it's up. That's up in the title. It's a 2 second song, all five category. And then Family Trip is our new category today. Five song titles and artists that all have something to do with taking a trip. So Below the Waist, This End Up, or Family Trip.
Let's do Below the Waist.
Below the Waist. All right. Today's category, Russ, features five song titles that each include a lower half body part in their name. Of 60 seconds. Pass if you don't know an answer. We'll come back to it at the end. All right. Start with our 2 second song. Paul, you ready to go?
Yes.
All right. Russ, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. 60 seconds on the clock. Remember, title and the artist here. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. The category, Below the Waist. Good luck, Russ. Let's take on Woods.
Babies up in here tonight. No fighting. We got the refugees.
No fighting. Tap.
She Knows How to Use Them, in which 1984 top 10 hit for ZZ Top?
Like.
Correct.
Like.
Casey and the Sunshine Band followed up Get Down Tonight and That's the Way I Like It, with which third 1976 hit with a suggestive title that reached number one on the Billboard charts?
Take Your Booty.
Correct. Which Tears for Fears hit ends with the duo stretching out the final line, Funny How Time Flies?
Pat.
Zach Brown sang about what in the water in their number one country hit from the year 2009?
Pat.
Go back to our 2 second song.
Babies up in here tonight. No fighting. We got the refugees. No
Shakira. Darn,
which Shakira. Tears for Fears hit ends with the duo stretching out the final line, Funny How Time Flies?
Pass again.
All right, go back to the 2 second song. That's all right. You got two, I believe, which could be enough. Who knows? Stay on the line, Russ. You got Legs and Shake Your Booty. That was Hips Don't Lie by Shakira. Hips just below the waist. We got Head Over Heels from Tears for Fears. The heels would be the lower half body part. And Toes is the Zach Brown song that Woods doesn't do well in the country, so especially the newer country. All right, Russ's score is locked in. Woods returns. Fix your camera so everyone can see your pretty face on our YouTube stream. Paulie, resetting our 2 second song. 60 seconds back on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Russ.
Babies up in here tonight. No fighting. We got the refugees.
No fighting.
Pass. She Knows How to Use Them, in which 1984 top 10 hit for ZZ Top?
Legs.
Correct. Casey and the Sunshine Band followed up Get Down Tonight and That's the Way I Like It, with which third 1976 hit with a suggestive title that reached number one on the Billboard charts?
Pass.
Which Tears for Fears hit ends with the duo stretching out the final line, Funny How Time Flies?
Funny How Time Flies. It's not... Is it Head Over Heels?
It is. Oh. Zach Brown sang about what in the water in their number one country hit from the year 2009?
Doo-doo.
No. Go back to our 2 second song.
No idea.
All right, then try Casey and the Sunshine Band, followed up
what
Get
is
Down
the category?
Tonight. And That's the Way I Like It, with which third 1976 hit with a suggestive title.
Make a little do a little dance, make a little love.
No, that is incorrect.
Damn it.
And you can't get the 2 second song. 2-2, we got a tie.
Oh,
and Russ, congratulations. You have qualified for the trip to Las Vegas. So the category was Below the Waist.
Below the Waist? Oh, you cretin.
And that was Hips Don't Lie by Shakira.
Shakira. Okay.
Shake Your Booty by Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Suggestive title. I don't know that that's suggestive. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, no, it is.
It was in 1976.
That's true. Shake your booty.
I wasn't alive then because, once again, our
Zach Brown saying about toes in the water.
Toes in the water.
Toes in the water. All right, Russ, stay on the line. Paulie will get your information during our break and put you into the drawing. Maybe the last person into the drawing for September for the trip to the Encore and the win. We got Don't Do This coming up next.
I mean, John Fisher.
Yes, that's a good one. I want to talk at some point about the threats from Dodgers fans leveled toward Luis Arraez last night.
That was something else.
Yeah,
right?
I thought so. So we'll get to that coming up with Ben Woods after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
I will preface Don't Do This today by saying we are never wishing injury on anyone, even on a Dodger, and we wish the a quick recovery for Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, I don't want any excuses.
After what happened last night, later in the game, when a ground ball to Jake, quick throw pulled Luis Arraez off the bag, had to reach across the foul line to try to tag Freddie Freeman as he went by. And when Freddie hit the base, he rolled his ankle pretty badly.
His foot was like an L.
The side of his foot was on the ground, not the bottom of the foot. It was pretty ugly.
It was ugly.
He left Dodger Stadium reportedly on crutches and in a walking boot. So if you're a Dodger fan, you're certainly concerned about that. However, you're also a Dodger fan. What are you thinking? So they went after Luis Arraez for tagging Freddie Freeman.
You know, noted thug Luis Arraez. The nicest guy in baseball.
Making a baseball play. And our friend Matthew, who set up our Reddit AMA earlier this week, screenshotted, one after another, Dodgers fans and the threats they were making to Luis Arraez. Yoni said, "No effing way, completely unnecessary. I'm throwing hands with Arraez if it's serious. Daya, bring Joe Kelly in to throw 99 miles an hour to Arise's rib. Ralphie, what is Arraez doing? Tag him on his upper body. WTF was that?
When Freddie ran into the bag, he turned to avoid the tag. And
it's just a baseball play. I'm just getting started, though. Nolan, Arraez is officially on the hit list. Daya, kill Arraez. Drea, F you Arraez, we're going to kill you with hammers, dog. Drea, Luis Arraez, you have 7 days to live, you effing bum.
Good Lord.
Yeah. JT, Arraez isn't even in this, although he spells it with an R, country legally. Why is he playing ball?
Good.
My God, Dodgers fans.
Pathetic. They don't know baseball. They don't know baseball. No one talks more ass than these guys. No one. This is why they're just the worst of the worst. That's the worst part of Twitter, is Dodger fans going after a guy for making a
violent
baseball play.
Dodger fan Twitter, there.
100%.
In a nutshell. Don't do that.
Yeah, send me a little hate mail and stuff. You guys have seen it. I showed you.
Yeah,
they're just the worst. They're the worst. And, you know, again, you don't win enough to talk the smack that you talk. Well, you win, but you don't win the big prize. So, and I know that bothers them, and they're very insecure, but that's how it is. So, I'm actually switching mine up. I would like to spend some time with our pal Jordan Schusterman talking about everything that went down yesterday in Oakland. Did you guys get a chance to sit and watch some of the game?
Yes, I did.
Sixth inning on, I was watching on the MLB Network.
I was, doing dad stuff. I had to go pick up the kids, and I came home, and I threw it on, and I was able to catch the last out, Mason Miller, and then all the...
There were a lot of delays.
All the delays and the ceremonies after that. So I want to I want to push that if we can. We've got some beautiful audio from Dallas Braden. It got me. Like I tweeted yesterday, had me crying in the club, dude, watching this audio yesterday. But this story broke yesterday as well. I don't know if you guys saw this. Wander Franco, remember him? Tampa Bay shortstop is ordered to stand trial on charges that he sexually abused a minor in Puerto Plata in the Dominican Republic. So the evidence and the accusation presented had sufficient merits to warrant a trial. 23 years old. He's been on administrative leave. Talking about his relationship, his sexual relationship with a 14-year-old girl. And so he is actually going to have to go stand trial in the DR. That was a story that was updated yesterday, and a gnarly one at that.
All right, finally a little doo-doo this.
DD mega doo-doo.
Can you have a celebratory moment in a 120-loss season? Because the Chicago White Sox actually did yesterday. They went into their final home series needing to avoid a single loss if they didn't want to at least set the new modern loss record at home with their 121st. After the Padres swept them, they went home to face the Angels. And they did it. They swept the Angels, finishing it off with a 7-0 win, including a victory yesterday for Chris Flexen, his first since May 8th. He is 3-15, but he went 7 shutout innings, or 6 1/3 shutout innings, and the White Sox actually got a standing ovation from the remaining fans on the south side of Chicago at that game. And by the way, as nervous as we were in that series against the White Sox, they've been playing their best baseball of the season here at the end.
They are scrapping and fighting hard.
They were playing pretty good coming into the series against the Padres, and they are playing good coming out of the series against the Padres. It's just the Angels, who, by the way, have lost 96 games, quietly having their worst season in franchise history.
Yeah, they're
worst. With the White Sox losing 24 more games, it kind of goes unnoticed when how bad you've been as the Angels, but they'll notice after that series when you get swept in Chicago. Now, can they avoid the record 3 more days? Not going to be easy. They got to play the Tigers, the hottest team. The Tigers' magic number is down to 1.
I know. Did you see what Grady Sizemore is doing, which I thought was really kind of badass? He's moving Garrett Crochet up and starting him in game 1, knowing the Tigers need 1 win to go to the playoffs. And he said, this is like,
try to delay it as long as we can.
We're rivals. I owe this to every other team to get my best guys out there.
Now, so the Tigers can clinch simply with another Twins loss.
That's true.
As can the Royals. Their magic numbers, the Royals and Tigers, both at 1.
I thought that was so cool.
They're also playing for the 5th seed. One of them's going to face the Orioles, though. One of them's going to face the Astros, likely, in the wild card round. But hey, congratulations to the White Sox. Did not give up when everything told you they had given up long ago.
Crazy, man.
They come and they win 3 straight.
It's a crazy, stupid sport we love. It really is crazy and stupid. It makes no sense.
And that is Don't and Do This for a Friday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
I can believe that the Dodgers fans, but I also can't believe it with Luis Arraez. Like threats.
You new here?
I'm not new here, so that's why I said I also can believe it. But
it's unhinged.
But I mean, if you're gonna be mad at someone, Dodgers fans, I mean, mad at Jake maybe for missing the throw and pulling him off the bag. Luis Arraez supposed to do?
You can't be mad at Jake either. It's a baseball play.
It's a baseball play.
And you know, look, man, Freddie Freeman, great player, seemingly a really good dude. He's a gawky fella. Like he's a baby giraffe a little bit when he runs and when he hit the bag.
He's tall as hell.
And Luis is little. Like, what do you want? What do you want him to do there? He's not trying to hurt him. You know that too.
I'm curious. I would say tease this for the next segment. But I don't think, if I know you guys at all, I don't think this is going to take that long. I was DM'd at least 7 or 8 times yesterday.
Yeah.
A clip of Mookie Betts and Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah,
on a podcast.
I watched some of it.
And I was said, oh, don't do this. Oh, this is a don't do this. Oh, I have to get this on
too.
Don't do this.
I got
this.
That too. And I go, who's the don't do this of them?
I'm trying to frame it. I'm like, don't do this on Tatis? Don't do this for both of them? I don't understand. I didn't get the sentiment there. I thought it was kind of well known and pretty obvious and pretty clear that like there's a fraternity, a brotherhood in sports, but especially in Major League Baseball.
Especially in Major League Baseball.
Maybe more than any other sport.
Yep.
That I guess nobody, in myself, all of us included, we can't grasp it, but I was not surprised or upset in any way when I saw that.
We romanticize a lot of the things from the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, and how those guys did it. And you know, I think Mookie put it pretty well on that podcast. We can talk about it if you want. We can play a couple of clips. There was one in particular that he spoke about it, and he knew people were going to be on him. He knew it. He basically said it. You know, a lot of people might be asking why we do this right now, today. And this is why. And I liked his answer. And it's hard to, when you hear his answer, go, idiot. You know, I think that let's play it. Let's play some, and you get your reaction to. I've said it a million times.
Like, we hate, as fans, opposing players
way more,
exponentially way more than Padres players hate those guys.
Has anybody ever seen Manny Machado over at third base?
Correct. Or Freddie Freeman at first.
He loves, every other baseball player that comes around to third base, loves them all.
Or Freddie Freeman at first, chatting everybody up.
Loves
I mean,
them.
There's also a reason that you do that. There's a reason that you do that as well. So let's talk about it.
He also loves getting the better of them when he's out there at the same time. I mean, that's all you can ask for. You know, loves his fellow baseball player, loves beating him on the field just as much.
Yep.
Yeah, we can play a little bit of that. I do think, in one sense, unforced error. Hey, Fernando, you want to come on my podcast? Why don't we tape it after the season? We'll talk about everything that went down and release it then, as opposed to when you know fans are going to be in their feels all over this series.
No, but that's the inside look that anybody that listens to those podcasts wants.
You want the
in-season, about, the
and you want the story of the triple play that you turned the night before. You don't want it in...
You want it fresh.
Yeah, you don't want it in November. You know, I thought it was pretty cool, but you would think Boomer Woods. No, I think it's fine.
All right, coming up next, we'll talk about the Padres' May series against the Colorado Rockies and how they struggled because we wanted to let it cool off a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, we'll play a little bit of that, and we'll continue. You know, why did the Padres change their starting rotation this weekend is an interesting question as well. That is all coming up with Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan. All right, Fernando, nice little sit down. How long has Mookie been doing his podcast? Like a Bleacher Report thing?
For a while. Yeah, he's been doing it a while. I don't know what it's called. What's it called?
Mookie and Friends.
Mookie's Inside the Dugout. They all have those great
Between
names.
Between the Lines.
Between the Lines.
Mookie Betts.
Ground Balls with Mookie Betts. Oh, he should call it Ground Bald. Get it?
On base with Mookie Betts.
You're joking.
No, I'm not. I just looked it up.
He should have gone with Ground Bald, I think. That'd be a good one. Ground Bald with Mookie Betts. So Fernando was on Ground Bald yesterday.
I'm not mad at all about Fernando being on.
Why would you be?
I am a little mad about current athletes trying to steal our jobs in the media at the same time.
I wouldn't worry about it. I mean, it's different.
We're not out there, you know, playing right field for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Why should you be doing our job in the media at the same time?
Yeah, it's true.
Stay in your lane. But no, it's good. It's insight. It's personal. And
it's great. It's great insight. I love the insight. It's no different, man, in my opinion, at least. Just the fact that it's a current player. But, like, you've got current players going on, doing media hits, doing podcasts throughout the season. You know, Chris Rose has got his rotation, and he'll have Tyler Glass now on there, you know, the day before a start or the day after a start. I think it's really, really great to hear. And some of the stories that you get are phenomenal. Some of the insight you get is phenomenal. It's frankly what we can't provide. I am unable to provide you with what they are able to provide you. I wish I could. I wish to God I could. That's why we try to bring a lot of former players on. Brett Boone hangs out for an hour. Tell us the stories, man. Nobody tells better stories than baseball players. So I just don't really have a problem with it. I mean,
I'd like to think from an entertainment value perspective that we provide a lot more, though, than
sure.
Like Mookie
well,
can provide.
They're not good. I mean, you
That's
listen
the thing.
To
it's
him.
Not, it's not great.
It's And this is not a shot at him, I swear. I like Mookie Betts enough. Like he's not a great broadcaster. He's not a great podcaster. He doesn't weave the best yarns. You know what I'm saying? But
yes.
Like,
I don't think he's trying to.
I don't think he is either. He's just being Mookie Betts. That's what he's doing.
And
that's who he is.
If there's a tinge of jealousy to that, yeah, because Mookie probably makes more just for that podcast than all of us combined in a year because he's Mookie Betts.
I have no envy for that at all. I think it's great. The only thing I'm envious of is I want to sit and talk to Fernando Tatis Jr.
We have sat and talked to Fernando Tatis Jr.
But it has been so long. I miss talking to him. So I just don't think it's that big a deal unless you make it a big deal. And these guys, look, perfect example. Diesel says Haas has, he's the best podcaster. The guy's damn good. The one thing that infuriates me is like, we could have been doing this for years together, Eric. We could have had you on every Friday, whatever. Like, he's really good at what he does now. And he gets good guests. They have good stories. So I really don't have a problem with them doing it. In fact, I actually thought it was kind of cool that they were talking about a play that happened, you know, the 2 days before, the night before.
A once in a lifetime play.
You guys clinched and you know, celebrated and all that. You're talking to your opponent who was now can tell you how he was feeling in the dugout, et cetera. But I saw it, and I'll tell you, my initial reaction was this. Oh, people are going to lose their minds. That was my initial reaction. And sure enough, they did. I promise you, though, that in the 60s, the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, I promise you, those guys all went out and raged together. All of them. Like, they all did. You know, the tough-nosed, hard-nosed, we hate the Braves, we hate the Giants. Those guys all went out and partied together. They all went fishing together in the off-season. There just wasn't a camera.
There was a difference, though, because back then they didn't have the turnover and changing of the teams.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you know that guy who you're playing against,
he's going to be here next year.
You may have already played with him. You may play with him next
That's
year.
That's true.
Back in the day, you're probably kind of stuck with the same guys.
Yeah, you're there for 15 years.
Going to play with the other guys. And so it was a little different, I think.
Like, I don't think Ed Whitson and Pascual Perez ever sat down and cracked, you know, cold ones together, but I'm sure Tim Flannery took somebody out at second base and then had beers with him after the game. I bet dollars to donuts that he absolutely did. And Mookie kind of talks about that too. When I heard this clip, I went, this should quell any of those issues.
A lot of people in the chat, and I'm sure in the comments and whatnot, are thinking that they're saying that it's funny and kind of crazy that we're doing a podcast right now.
They said worse than that.
The race. And so my take on it, and I'll let you talk, but my take on it is the game, during the game, like, we'll be fighting to win the game. Like, that's a given. That's between the lines, right? But I think I may have said it before, like, the brotherhood that's created playing this game is what you'll always remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When we get older, we're going to always remember Tatis as a great player, right? But I'm going to remember who you were.
Yeah.
The person that you are, how you treated me, our relationship more than the baseball stuff. And so for me, like, right now, we're living a normal life.
Yeah, this is fire.
You know, this is a normal. Now, when the game starts,
yeah, we're fighting.
We're fighting, right? And so I want to hear your take on it. Like, what do you think about it?
I definitely appreciate this, you know, because you said, like you mentioned, this is what we're going to take. This is what we're going to remember, the home runs and, like, the hits, yeah, and all that is pretty. But, you know, the people that you meet on the way that,
I like this
at
part.
The same time, so many different backgrounds, but at the same time, also so similar,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like
very similar,
yeah, very similar, and like sharing stories and like having that respect for that guy, that, you know, how much of hard work you need to do to be in the place that you are.
That's it. And that's all you need. I mean, that part to me was a kind of a game, respect game type situation. Like, man, I know what you had to do to get here, because I had to do the same thing. I know I get it. I know the grief that you get from your fan base is the same grief that I get from mine. They both have lots of ability. They both make lots of money. I get it. I totally understand it. It's bigger for us, the fans, than it is for them. For them, it has to be just another game. It really does. And you can ratchet up the intensity.
You would never survive if you made it.
You couldn't survive, man.
If you stressed out about it the way we do as fans, you wouldn't survive the season.
You wouldn't. You wouldn't. You couldn't do it if you were a player. So that part. And Mike, who's a our buddy Mike, who's he's like he gets as boomer as I do sometimes. He said that part sold me, and I said yes. That's the exact part that sold me as well. I go, all right, great. Well, what are we talking here? An hour in the morning before a game? Who cares? Like, why would anyone care? And didn't hurt Mookie.
Like, maybe that was Mookie's house, like in front of his fireplace.
Either
they,
that
they
or like
in a living room,
like
or
his
was it
podcast
a set,
studio,
like a set
it,
they have.
Bro, it wouldn't surprise me if it was in Dodger Stadium somewhere. You know what I mean?
Wherever like, it was very bright because yeah, they're both wearing sunglasses indoors.
That's a choice, I think. We have a light.
Should we be wearing sunglasses? Are we doing it wrong?
I feel like that's such a. It's such a hard-o move for a guys like us, but those guys are G's.
I mean, they pull it off so easily.
Yes.
But I feel like if we were all three of us, and we have lights, and they're right in our face.
We would be dorks.
And we all wore sunglasses, it wouldn't go well for us.
You wear transition lenses.
I do.
How come the light doesn't turn them dark?
These aren't the transitions. I wear those for golf.
Oh. I thought you wore them all the time.
No, these are my non-transitions, yeah.
Please start wearing your transitions.
I did. I used to wear them.
I remember.
I don't think they...
But
I don't
think we didn't have the light then.
Oh, that's true.
I think the last time we wore glasses during our show, sunglasses, was probably out at spring training when we got that light.
The sun just...
beaming right into your face.
We had to do it.
Problem is, at least for me, I don't know about you guys, I have, my sunglasses are polarized. Most sunglasses nowadays have polarized lenses. You ever try to look at a computer screen with polarized lenses?
You can't do it.
It's impossible.
It's really rough out there at spring training. You guys should feel bad for us.
If I'm uploading something, posting something, whatever, I have to like tilt the sunglasses down, look over the frame. It's
I
awful.
Walked into like a taco shop a few weeks ago wearing my glasses, and I looked up at the menu and go, oh, the screen's off. Like, hey, can I get a paper menu? And they go, it's right here. They're pointing up, and I go, no, it's off. They go, take off your glasses. And I took them off.
You're joking.
It just appeared like magic. Like, oh, whoa. I can see it now.
I'm pretty sure most sunglass distributors, if you go on their website or whatever, like the default these days is like polarized lenses that helps with glare while you're driving and all
right.
that, but it makes it impossible to see a screen.
Now, it begs the other question too. You see it a lot on stage. Your favorite front man walks out and he's got shades on and he's in a dark venue. And I thought to myself, I think that's one of the absolute perks of being a front man because it's one of the only times you can get away with it. Like, throwing them on. Now, there's lights.
I would assume they're hiding their bloodshot eyes
from all the booze
and
drugs.
Yes, lifestyle.
Yes, 100%.
That's why they're wearing the sunglasses.
But that part, man, being able to walk on stage in your shades and, you know, rip the mic, I always thought that's pretty cool.
We need to show everyone how clear-eyed and sober we are in
yep,
the morning.
That's
so you
true.
Want to see our eyes.
I don't feel sober, but I absolutely did not drink a lick last night.
All right, I have come up with like the most bizarre scenario possible. It's not one you want, Padres fan. Realm of possibility.
This is a chance to explore the space a little bit.
We can check that right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. And this segment of Ben and Woods is brought to you by Indeed. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Their end-to-end solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all year round. Schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from your Indeed dashboard. Learn more by visiting Indeed.com/credit. As we mentioned earlier, the Padres are still in very good position to host wild card games. They simply need either two wins over the Diamondbacks in three games, or just one win and one New York Mets loss in their last five games. Three in Milwaukee, two in Atlanta. 1+1 gets it done. So,
and those games are 100% going down. Everything that the team that might not have to play any extra games is the Diamondbacks, right? Mets, Braves, happening Monday for
there,
sure.
There's a scenario where they don't happen, but if they don't happen, and the Padres win a game, I don't think the Mets can catch the Padres.
Okay,
so,
yeah, all right.
I mean, the commissioner would have to decide if whether the home seeding is important enough to make them play those games or not. I don't know, but so that you know, they're still in good shape, but there certainly is a scenario that you wouldn't want if you're the Padres, and it goes like this. Padres.
I'm hesitant to have you even put this in the interview. Because I know where you're about to go. And
all right, so let's say the Padres win one game this weekend against the Arizona Diamondbacks. But the Mets keep winning and sweep the Milwaukee Brewers. The Padres will finish ahead of the Diamondbacks, but they will go into Monday not knowing if they're the four seed or the 5 seed in the playoffs against the Mets. And if they play that doubleheader,
even if we win a game, you're saying.
If we win one, exactly one game, but the Mets win all 3. The Mets would go into that doubleheader if they swept. And they might still have to play them because Atlanta might still be able to catch, who knows. But if they play those games, the Mets would sweep. They would host the games on Tuesday.
Unreal.
If they lose either of them, the Padres would host the games, which would mean on Monday, the Padres would have to wait in San Diego, likely, until after a doubleheader is played. So 10 a.m. first game, like 1:30, 2 p.m. next game. Maybe 5:30. If the Mets swept those 2 games, the Padres would then say, hey, everybody, we got to go to the airport, get on our plane, 7, 8 o'clock, fly 5 hours plus 3 hours time difference. So you're getting like 4 or 5 a.m. in New York.
You go to a hotel. Case.
And remember, it's going to be a day game. So it might be like a 1 o'clock start in New York. You may only have like 4 hours between the time that you arrive in New York and have to play that game on Monday. If you had any plane difficulties or anything, you might not make it to the game on Monday if that was the case. Major League Baseball has a potential logistical nightmare on their hands, depending on what happens the next 3 days and with this doubleheader on Monday between the Braves and the Mets.
But again, you can take all of those worries away by winning 2 games.
Yes,
that's
can.
It. That's all you got to do.
Yes, you can.
You win 2 games.
Which is why, go ahead and take these games seriously.
Which is why Yu Darvish is pitching tonight and somebody very good will be pitching
tomorrow. Could be Michael King tomorrow.
If those Mets
Well, King pitched
lose,
on... King pitched on Tuesday, so they'd have to wait until Friday or Sunday to pitch him.
Yeah, just win. Win against the Diamondbacks and figure it out, and then you don't have to worry about it.
There will be some scoreboard watching inside of Chase Field today.
Best case scenario.
Mets and Brewers go at 5:10.
Yeah, the Mets lose, Padres win, and then the last 2 days you can call up Matt Waldron and give him another start, and you can call up
Logan Glasby
and put him in the bullpen.
Yeah.
You get Alec Jacobs some work, throw Matsui out there again.
Woo!
You can do
a lot.
You can do a lot in the last 2 days if you can take care of it today.
Wow. Holy crap.
Hello.
It's like that Eddie Ortega of music right there, Paulie. Just blew out my eardrums. Let's go, Brewers. Let's go, Brewers. Those guys
are division champions.
They're playing for nothing. Just
so there's still some stuff to keep an eye on.
Yeah, you've seen it all, haven't you, J.H. says. He's a Padre fan for life. He knows what could potentially
happen. Jordan Schusterman when we come back next here on The Fan.